In retrospect, it was easy for her to see that it had been a mistake to have sex with a mime. At the time, though, she had been drunk enough that it had seemed like a good idea. Sure, she had been a little surprised once she had coaxed him upstairs when he refused to speak, and even more surprised by his refusal to wipe off his face paint or shuck his beret. But whatever, so what? It would give her a story to tell at parties. But ever since, she had had trouble sleeping. She could manage a fitful hour, but then woke up, imagining him there again above her, naked save for his face paint and beret and white gloves. She watched as, straddling her, he carefully felt out an invisible box around them. He kept making gestures to remind her about the box, feeling it out again, steadying her as she approached one imaginary edge, running his flattened palms along the box's ceiling just before penetrating her. It was a hell of a thing, at once funny and deeply disturbing and distracting as hell. When he was coming, pretending to cry out silently, she suddenly realized that this was not a story she could bring herself to tell at parties. Mostly passed out, she lazily watched him lift the imaginary box off of them, get up and get dressed, then lift the box back in place over her. She drifted off, feeling it there around her, edges softly gleaming, holding her in. She woke up early the next morning to find herself smeared with white face paint as well as a few loops of black, like bruises, from his lips. She got up and brewed some coffee, had some toast, vomited. Her head felt wrapped in batting. The mime had not even been good in bed, though he had mimed being good in bed when she had picked him up. No, she thought, he had been more interested in his imaginary box than in her. So she had slept with a mime, so what? In any case, it was over now, over and done. But it wasn't over, nor was it done. True, she didn't think about the mime for the rest of the day, but later that night, just as she was lying down to sleep, she felt something. There was the box rising up around her. She closed her eyes and tried to sleep, but kept seeing the box, its edges burning and flashes on the inside of her eyelids. It was hard to sleep, feeling it was there, and when she finally did sleep, it was fitfully, dreaming of the mime moving inside her, shoulders hunching to avoid the ceiling of the imaginary box, white face floating like a buoy in the darkness. She brushed her hand through the box, but it remained undisturbed. She threw back the covers and got a drink and climbed back into bed, beside the box this time, but no, somehow the box was still over her, holding her in. No matter where she went on the bed, it was there. This is ridiculous, she thought, and tried to sleep, but instead sat there, staring at the inside of the non-existent box, wondering how to get rid of it. She got up and wandered the apartment, read a little in an armchair, made herself some warm milk, drank it. She began to feel a little sleepy. She nodded in and out in the chair, finally got up and went into the bathroom, climbed back into bed. An instant later, she was wide awake, staring again at the inside of the box. Most of the night was like that, with her oppressed by the box that wasn't even there. She slept a little in the chair, on the floor, but never for long, mostly lying in the bed, in the non-existent box, wide awake, feeling absurd. I should kill that fucking mime, she thought, around 4 a.m. A little after 5, she wondered if there were support groups for women who had slept with mimes. 5 minutes later, she started to wonder if the mime had worn a real or an imaginary condom. She kept picturing his exaggerated motions as he put it on. If she had a baby, would it be wearing a beret and white gloves? God damn it, she thought at 5:23 a.m., her eyes puffy. What's wrong with me? She must have fallen asleep for a few minutes anyway, for by the time she awoke, light was streaming through the window and the box was gone. Relieved, she called her office and left a message saying she'd be late. She slept a few hours. The rest of the day was a little hazy, her responses slower than normal, and there was a point in a meeting where she completely blanked out and came to herself seconds later to find the client staring at her strangely. She recouped as best she could, waited through the rest of the day, left right at 5. I'll sleep well tonight, she told herself on the drive home. She collapsed onto the bed before dinner with the last of the sun coming in through the window and fell asleep in her clothes. She woke up an hour later in the dark, mouth dry, blouse rucked up around her breasts. In the dark, she could feel the box there around her. Suddenly, she was wide awake. She could not get back to sleep. She wanted to weep. Instead, she lay there feeling the box, trying to ignore it, trying to pretend it wasn't there. But no, she thought, I'm not pretending. It's an imaginary box. It isn't there. But thinking this didn't seem to help. It was one night among many, each of them shading into each other, each essentially coming down to the same thing, her lying in bed, staring through a non-existent box at the ceiling. In the days that followed, she tried everything she could think of. She slept naked, she slept clothed, sober, drunk, half naked, half clothed, half sober, half drunk. She took sleeping pills, which seemed to work for a few hours, but didn't make her feel any less tired once she woke up. She changed the sheets, the box was still there. I should kill that fucking mime, she thought. She turned the mattress over, the box was still there. She tried to sleep on the couch, but even though the box wasn't over her, she could feel it in the next room, gently shimmering. She tried to sleep at a friend's house, but somehow could still feel the box, even from there, blocks away, waiting for her. She started seeing a psychiatrist who tried to give her strategies for coping. Maybe, he suggested after 5 or 6 sessions, you need to give in to your inner mime, so to speak. My inner mime, she wondered. She listlessly attended 2 or 3 more sessions and then stopped. Which left her where exactly? In bed, beneath the box, having difficulty sleeping, eyes redder, mind more and more distracted, wishing every night as she tried to close her eyes and found they wouldn't close, that she were dead. I'll try anything, she kept telling herself. I'll do anything, just as long as I can get some sleep. Which is what led her one night at 3 or perhaps 3:20, or perhaps somewhat closer to 4, hard to say since there had been so many nights since in which she had done the same thing, to begin thinking with 2 different parts of her head at once. One part of her head was thinking, as it had thought at least once per night, that she should kill that fucking mime. But the other part was thinking that no, perhaps not kill, but fuck him again, and this time, after he came, get him to take his fucking box away with him. One part of her head was walking into the kitchen and taking a knife from the block and sliding it into her purse, but the other part was thinking what it would say to get the mime to go home with her again, how she would first find him and then fuck him, or no, stab him dead, back and forth, until when she came to herself again and was thinking with only one part of her head, there she was, alone in the dead of night, in the street, searching for her mime, not knowing whether she would have sex with him or kill him, or perhaps both. It was useless, she knew, to look for him so late, but there she was, walking, half-dressed, walking, and now the same thing seemed to happen every night, almost without her knowing it, that strange moment when her thinking split into either side of her head, and she seemed to fall into the gap between, and by the time she had managed to clamber out, she was out alone on the streets, looking for a mime. Only a mime would do. And perhaps it is best to leave her there, half asleep and wandering, grasping at straws that don't exist. For what good can possibly come of any of this? At best, she will soon have butchered a mime in her bed or will end up dead herself. At worst, she will soon find herself enclosed by not just one imaginary box, but 2. That she might actually work her way free, that she might actually for once sleep through the night ever again, seems the least likely possibility of all, even to her. So let's leave her. Let's tuck the covers up around her neck and take a step or 2 backwards. Let's turn out the light, and despite the soft gleam of her open eyes in the darkness, despite the sounds of her tossing and turning within her box, despite as night deepens her little groans of frustration, let's smile and lying tell ourselves, yes, everything is all right. Yes, shh, yes, she's finally asleep.